just a word about where Ruth is going. We should have thought this out a little bit more and had more information. But she's going to help do some Bible school stuff with Sam and Becca Gunty in India. And that was really all we knew. But between the time she signed up until now, there was a doctor offered his services over there to do a medical and an eyeglass clinic. But and he's providing his services for free. But they figure they'll need about $700 to do medications and eyeglasses and things. And I'm not sure where Ruth got the information or not, but they want us to announce it in our churches. And if you feel led to give 50 cents, a dollar, $10, $100, whatever you want, you know, give that to Ruth and we'll make sure that gets to the right place. But they have the doctor, they have the logistics in place, but they lack the funds. And we have the funds, I think. So they're not looking to Shiloh to provide $700, but we're announcing it at Cold Spring this morning also, and the other churches where people are going. So if each church can raise $100 or something like that, why, that'll help out. So give as the Lord leads. The other thing I should say this morning before I get started is I'm not a Johnny Cash fan. The older people get it, but the younger people don't. The younger people just think I'm not very fashion savvy. So, have you ever wondered, is this thing on? Can't hear myself, which don't matter. But have you ever wondered, what's the use? You know, what is the point of the Christian life? What's the use struggling along? What is the benefit of being a Christian? What difference does it make? I mean, look around. Let's be honest this morning. Look around, people you know that are non-Christians, the people that are home this morning, you got to sleep in. They might be out playing golf. You know, they seem to be doing pretty good. So what different? What's the point of us struggling along? You know, having to get up early, come to church, you know, spend our time spinning our wheels. What difference does it make? What's the benefit? Did those thoughts ever cross your mind? Anybody else's mind than just mine? I know, the Christian thing to do is say, no, I would never think those things. Let's be real. Had those thoughts crossed anybody else's mind? Thank you. I think we wouldn't be human if we would say they didn't. You know, I have to be honest, they cross my mind a lot. When you stand for truth, you stand on what the Bible says and people oppose you. Things don't go right in my life. And I look around and the non-Christian seems to be doing well. It's just human, I think, to think about those things. Well, I'm not alone. You're not alone. Turn with me to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. See, David, God called David a man after his own heart. But David was a man like you and I are. Well, a person like you and I are. David had the same struggles that we did. This is not my main text, but it's an introduction to the message that God would have us this morning, have us hear this morning. Psalm 73, starting at verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So David understands that God is good to those that love him. But, verse 2, he said, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. Why? For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. See, David almost slipped. He almost fell. These thoughts were crossing his mind. He saw the prosperity of the wicked, and he's starting to have these thoughts. Verse 4, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters of abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. This is what David is thinking that the wicked are like. They're always carefree. They increase in wealth. He says, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. I don't know if any of us would be honest enough this morning to go say as much as what David did. Surely it's vain to follow the Lord, is basically what he was saying. But I wonder, in our heart of hearts, we haven't said the same thing. And maybe even have headed down that path somewhat. So what is the benefit of being a Christian? My main text is in Psalm 103. You can turn to that now. Something happened to David between the writing of Psalm 73, where he's saying, I don't know if it's worthwhile following God. I don't know if it's worthwhile the effort that I'm putting into keeping my heart pure, because I'm struggling. Saul is after me, trying to kill me. I have all these things. I'm running, and the wicked are prospering. So something happened between then and Psalm 103. And here, I like this psalm because David's talking to himself. Have you ever talked to yourself and answered yourself? Well, here David does. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. In all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed from our transgressions, has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like the grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it and is gone, and his place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you His mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey the word, His word. Praise the Lord, all of the heavenly host, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Back to verse 1. He's talking to his own self. He's saying, self? Yes. Praise the Lord. He's commanding him, his own self. So apparently this thing is not a natural thing for us to do, to praise the Lord. And as I got to thinking about that, I'm like, well, he's telling himself to praise the Lord, but what is praise? What does that mean? Well, praise simply means to kneel. And I think it's not just to kneel physically, but it's to kneel or to yield your spirit to somebody else or to something else. And it's to give adoration. Now, there's some things that I want to look at in these first two verses about praise. He's saying, praise the Lord. So he's telling himself to kneel down, to give adoration, to humble himself, to kneel down in his spirit and give adoration to who? To God. Now, I'm wondering how much we do that. I mean, we praise God for giving us the rain. We praise God for doing this for us, and we praise God for doing that for us. But he's telling us to praise the Lord. He's telling us to praise God for who God is, not for what he does for us, although I think it's good and I think it's right to thank the Lord and praise God for what he does for us. But he's telling us to praise the Lord. Period. I fail in that. I fail to praise God, to just get down on my knees and just, in adoration, praise God. I wonder what it would look like in our prayer life to praise the Lord. The other thing it does is we come to church, we say we come to praise and worship. But here he's saying, praise the Lord, what? Oh my, what's that got to do with you? See, we're to praise the Lord individually. I mean, there's other places that would call us a corporate worship. But to individually kneel down in our closet to praise God, just you, me and him, to praise, to give adoration. Just me and God. Nobody else around. It's a whole lot different doing that. It's almost harder, I think, to do it on your own. The other thing about praise is we're supposed to do it unreservedly. Without reservation. Without holding back. Because he's saying, praise the Lord, O my soul. And I like the King James Version. I think it says, and all that is within me, praise the Lord. Nothing held back. Everything about me is praising God. Everything. No holding back. No matter who's around. No matter what anybody else is going to think. I'm going to praise the Lord. Then in verse 2, he talks about praising the Lord again. And he says, forget not. Forget not. And it seems like as humans, we have a problem with forgetting. In Proverbs, and I'm just going to have a couple verses to back up my point. Proverbs 4 or 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words. Proverbs 3, 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching. And there's verse after verse in the Bible talks about, do not forget, do not forget, do not forget. So God knows our limitations. He knows how prone we are to forget. But here David is reminding himself again to forget not all his benefits. You know, God is good, but don't forget it. Wonder if I ask you, maybe I will just ask you, what is it that causes us to forget about God's benefits? What are some things that cause us to forget? I'm sorry? Okay. Grumbling and complaining makes us forget. What else makes us forget? Egos. Okay. Selfishness. What about busyness? Maybe that would come under selfishness. But being busy. You know, with work, now that's not such a big problem this last while for a lot of us. But even busyness with other things. Priorities. If we don't prioritize. There's a whole host of things, I think, that makes us forget. And I think, well, I know we have to take steps. We have to set our priorities to bring us back to remember. To bring us back to remember. Maybe we have to put it in our schedules on our calendars. Maybe we should put on our calendars Saturday. Sit down and remember all God's benefits. And then maybe next Saturday, even just once a week, have it in our schedules for a time to remember God's benefits. Forget not. Forget not. Forget not. Forget not. Says, forget not all his benefits, and we'll get into the benefits just shortly. But he's prepping us for the benefits by saying, praise God, praise God, praise God with everything that's in you. And don't forget, set up remembrances. And don't forget all his benefits. And that little word all, I think, speaks volumes to us. When I first read it, it said, forget not all his benefits. So if I forget most of them but remember one, it's okay. No, the word that should be in there possibly, and I don't know, some of the other versions may have it in, don't forget any of his benefits. God has all these benefits. Don't forget any of them. So we're going to have to make a list, and we're going to have to review them to keep bringing them back to us. Don't forget any of his benefits. What are his benefits? Verse 3 says, he forgives all your sins. All your sins. Not just some of them. But he forgives all your sins. And he heals all your diseases. You might say, well, Elvin, I'm okay with the first part of the verse, but he heals all your sins or all your diseases? Well, what about the people that die with cancer? What about? I don't know, and I don't know where to go with all that's in my mind about healing all these diseases. Doesn't say amen. I was going to go there. I had you in my mind too. Because something you said a long time ago still sticks in my mind. But he heals all our diseases. And I want you to hear me carefully what I'm going to say about this. Because I don't want to say that I don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip. But it's becoming a more and more accepted, I don't know if it's a theory or an idea, that most of what's wrong with us, I said most, so hang on to that word. Most of what's wrong with us and our society is psychogenic, which simply means it comes from up here. They're finding out that guilt, stress, sin, that we hold up here, unforgiveness, bitterness, all that stuff I talked about the last time, has a lot to do with the way our bodies function. So, I'm tap dancing around this so nobody feels like I'm saying you have sin and guilt in your life because that's why you had cancer. That's not what I'm saying. But if that is the case, if what's wrong with most of us has to do with what's going on in our bodies, then if we get this right, our hearts right, will what's wrong with our bodies then take care of itself? He said he will heal all our diseases. That's one part of it. The other part is what Nina said. He doesn't say when he's going to heal all our diseases. Because I realize not everything comes from up here. There is some things just from the fall that's going to happen to our bodies. But God has promised he's going to heal all our diseases. Some of them he heals now, temporarily. And the thing Nina said that has stuck in my mind all these years, the first time she was healed of cancer, I had the audacity to say, yes, but. And she kindly rebuked me and said, even Lazarus died again. But I have no doubt that God has healed Nina for a time. But she's going to die at some point, like the rest of us. And some... That's right. And that's sometimes when God chooses to heal us. Sometimes he will take the disease away from us. And other times he takes us away from the disease. But that's a promise, that's a benefit of God. Because the unbeliever will never get away from their disease. I don't believe. So that's a benefit. I was not going to spend that much time on that one. Verse 4, he redeems. So he forgives our sin, he heals our diseases, he redeems our life from the pit. Literally, I think that word literally translated, or one of the translations is from the snare. He delivers us from the snare. So whatever you're caught in, whatever your besetting sin is, whatever grips you, he will deliver us from that. We say, oh, I have this habit I can't break. My Bible says he will deliver you from the pit. So, don't come to me and say, I can't. Pessimist needs a good kick in the cans. He will deliver us from the pit. It doesn't matter what your pit is. He will deliver you from it. Verse 5, he satisfies. So, he forgives our sin, he heals our diseases, he redeems our life from the pit. Redeems really means he buys it back from the pit. He pulls us out and cleans us up. He crowns you with love and compassion. Crown simply is a picture of authority or protection. And so God's love and compassion is our authority, our protection. He satisfies our desires with good things. Does that mean he's going to give you everything you desire? No, but he's going to satisfy you. He's going to give you a satisfaction in your heart. He satisfies your desires with good things. Good things, not things you want. But he's going to give you that deep satisfaction in your heart with whatever he gives you, with an understanding that what he gives you is good. For a reason, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And somewhere in Isaiah it talks again about the eagles. They that trust upon the Lord, their strength will be renewed like the eagles, or something. I can't quote it while I'm standing up here. The Lord, verse 6, the Lord works righteousness, or he makes right what's wrong. See, if you're a Christian, God is going to make right the injustices that are in your life. At some point, God is going to make right those things that you think are unjust, or the injustices that are done to you, he's going to make right at some point in your life. He says, the Lord works righteousness, so the Lord makes right, and he and justice for all the oppressed. He brings justice for everybody that's oppressed. So whatever's going on in our life, God's going to make that right. Another benefit. He made known his ways, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses. He's simply a God that's not secretive. God laid out, just like he made out, he left Moses know where they're going, so he lets us know where we're going through his word. He's not secretive. He's not this mystical being that is just back there and kind of letting us bumble our way through life. The Lord is compassionate. He has compassion. He has pity on us. And he's gracious. He wants to do good to us. He's slow to anger. His wrath isn't kindled at us, which is a good thing. Let me go on. He's abounding in love. He will not accuse. Satan is accuser of the brethren. God isn't. He doesn't harbor his anger against us forever. Verse 10, he doesn't, and this is one of the benefits I like, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Who would like to be treated the way we deserve? Not me. You know what I deserve? I deserve death. I deserve hell. But my Bible says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. He's better than that. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. Why? Because he answers that in verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. Now, how high is that? You go out and look at the most farthest away star that you see. And that's only a very, maybe this high off the ground from the height of the heavens. We don't know how high the heavens are. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. But he's not happy with just that description. He says as far as the east is from the west. Now, how far east do you have to go till you're going west? You never get there. It's opposing. They never meet each other. They go on and on and on. It's that far that he has removed our sin from us. It says he's removed our transgressions from us that far. It's because in verse 13, as a father has compassion on their children, and you fathers, you know how we treat our children, or we should treat our children, with compassion. We know that when they're just babies, they don't understand. And they don't act like we think they should. But we have compassion. We have patience. We try and bring them along. He says, as the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. That's how God treats us, like we do our children. Or as we should treat our children. With compassion. Because he knows how we were formed. He was there when he picked up the dust in the garden. And he formed it into man. He knows we're just dust. That's all we are. We're a clump of clay, somebody says. But God knows that's how we are. It says, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. Can you imagine how God looks at us, at my life? I'm like a flower of the field, he says. I'm here today, tomorrow I'm gone, and nobody remembers that I even stood here. Kind of depressing when you think about it in worldly terms, that my life is going to mean nothing, literally mean nothing to this world after I'm gone. See, that's what God, that's how we are in the whole scheme of things. It says, we flourish like the flower of the field, we bloom. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, and the place remembers it no more. When you look at those benefits, are they not awesome benefits of serving God? If you've ever had that question, then we need to look back at these verses. I've asked you before, but does it feel like there's just very few benefits of serving God? It's good to go back and remember. I think we need to set things in our schedule to go back, even if it's to this psalm, to remember what God has done for us, what the benefits are. I know that sometimes it feels like the ungodly people are getting a better deal than we are. I know that because I feel that. But we have to keep the end in mind. Psalm 73, starting at verse 13, after David was saying, the wicked, they're always carefree, they always increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. See, when David tried to understand all this, how is it that the wicked are flourishing and doing good, and God's chosen people are in oppression? It was depressing to him. He said it oppressed him. And I can understand that. He said it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. See, we have to keep the end in mind. See, the life that the ungodly get here is all they have. That's as good as it's going to get. Us, on the other hand, this is as bad as it's going to get. He said he understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed completely, swept away by terrors, as a dream when one wakens. So when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as their fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. And he goes on and says some other things, but the last verse says, but as for me, it is good to be near God. As for me, it is good to be near God. And I think that's what we have to keep in our mind, that no matter what it feels like in our hearts, no matter how bad we think we have it, we have to remember that it's good to be near God. So, are there benefits to being a Christian? Some of you are not sure. Are there benefits to being a Christian? Yes. When you go back and compare these two psalms, it's very clear. Psalm 73, it tells about the good things that the unbeliever has, but it says their destruction. Psalm 103 lists all the benefits. And I think we have to be methodical about this. When we get down, when we get dispirited, I think we have to make up our mind. I know we do, to go back and look at, oh yeah, this is what God has for me. You know, the unbeliever is going to end up in ruin, but God has good things in store for me. Would you stand, please? God in heaven, we come to you thanking you for your word this morning. And thank you, God, for the benefits that you have listed in your word to us. And these that we read this morning are just a few of the benefits of following you. So God, implant those in our hearts that we won't forget. Because when we forget your benefits, we tend to go back into complaining and whining and forgetting what you have done for us and are going to do for us, because most of our benefit is still to come. God, I want to confess that I haven't done a good job of remembering what you have done for me. And so this message is for me, God, to remember your benefits. Thank you for these dear people. God, would you be our guide in the coming week? And the people we meet, God, would you bring us to those people that you would want us to speak to this week about you and the benefits of being a Christian? God, those that are grappling with the issue of, is it worthwhile or is it not worthwhile? God, I pray for each person in here that we would come in contact, that we could take them back to this scripture in Psalm and show them the benefit and encourage them to keep going on. So thank you for these people, God, and we pray that your Spirit will be our guide and to lead us in all truth. And we commit our week to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I was going to say, I would just encourage you this week to make a commitment to read through Psalm 103 every day this week for the next 7 days and see if it doesn't change our attitude about things. So, blessings, and you're dismissed.